last Lord's Day, he talked about purification as by his own blood he entered in. And this morning, purification is the heaven of things. Let's begin by reading verse number 15 today. And for this cause, he is a mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The promise, and the Lord Jesus is the mediator, one that is the go-between. In the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 12, he's not a man, as I am, that I should answer him. We should come together in judgment, as the Lord is not just doing that. Neither is there any daysman but comforts. A daysman is a mediator, a go-between, that man lay his hand upon us both. Lord Jesus Christ can lay his hand upon us both. He was a perfect man, and he knew the understanding, he understood what humanity was. And like we are, imperfect, he was a perfect man, the creation of the apostles. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, verse 5 says, one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's not the Pope of Rome that many claim to be the mediator. It's the Lord Jesus himself, between God and man, a man, perfect God, a man, Christ Jesus. Then Hebrews 5, or 8 and verse 6. And now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon which also he is a mediator, the better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Lord Jesus again, a mediator, the golden church, that lays his hand upon his cross. In Hebrews 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, has did us better things than that of Abel. All these things to our Savior, the mediator, the pre-dominant. Then, forgiveness of sins, past sins. It says in this verse, number 13, transgressions that were under the first testament. In Romans 3:23, you know that little thing together. The law of sin becomes short of the glory of God. And then verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All his sins, know that through Christ, and we have forgiveness of that sin. In verse 26, to declare our faith at this time the righteousness of his, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He is God's just, because Lord Jesus died for the sins. He's the justifier, the one that makes people justify as well. Then this verse talks about established and made with the eternal salvation and transgressions around the law. We have an eternal inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, only in Christ. In John 3:14, it's a verse that my janitor told me when I was young, 16-year-old, before I was saved. You know, it was said to me, and as Moses, like a servant in the wilderness, he was one of the Son of Man, he was a God. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Then verse 16, for you know this is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse is a verse that many have been memorized, and many have not believed and accepted in the heart, that is eternal life, the minute we trust the Savior. Then in John 6 and verse 68, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's true, he's the only one. They can't go anywhere else because the Lord Jesus himself. Then in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and know that they follow me. see those of January 15th. Wonderful verse. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Another promise. Jesus, when any man took them out of my hand, another promise. And the Father's hand around his hand, no bandage, took them out of the Father's hand as well. Then in Romans 6, 23, you know that one, it says that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Always through Christ, genuinely facing Him, is eternal life. And Titus 3 and verse 7, and justified by His grace, that is something we love before Him, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Over and over again, eternal life is promised to those who trust in Him and who trust the Savior. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, being made perfect, He that is Lord Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. To all that that obey Him, that trust Him, accept Him by faith. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, or Jesus' blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By the majesty of His own blood, death of the cross, but setting His blood, entering the holy place. In John 5, verse 13, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know, that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. Full knowledge of salvation is important indeed. This brings us number 16 together. For where a testimony there is, there also must be a necessity to be the death of the testimony. The testimony is like a will. And the will, you have a living will as we have, it takes effect when you die. Only one of the testimony dies, as the will, that takes effect. For that, it is of no value whatever. Number 17 is in that game. For a testimony is of course after men are dead. Otherwise, it has no strength at all while the testator lives. Again, it's not just like a will. You make a will, you can change it to the longer while you're living, but it takes effect after you die. A will may be made by your husband and wife, a joint will, whatever it may be. This brings us number 18 also. Whereupon, you were the first testament dedicated without blood. There, in the testament for the number old, the blood was offered as a sacrifice, as a part of that testament. And in verse number 19, which we have returned to, when Moses had spoken every precept of all the people according to the law, with the blood of calves and goats, with water and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Just like he sprinkled the book and also all the people. It's a strange thing, but that's what happened. In Exodus 24, verse 5, after he received the law, he sent the young man, the children of Israel, offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings to Isaac. And Moses took half the blood and put it in his basin. Half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it the audience to the people. They said, all that the Lord has said will we do. And the obedient. What liars they were. They didn't do all that God has spoken, and other people today, former Christians, do all that God has spoken. Hope we don't be liars by faith. So Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you for all before him. Let's read verse number 20 together. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has been showing you unto you. In Exodus 24, verse 8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled on the people through his sanctuary and said, behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. And then in verse 21, let's read that verse together. Moreover, he sprinkled with his blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. All the vessels that he had, many vessels. In Exodus 25, verse 37, thou shalt take seven lamps thereof, and it shall light the lamps, that they may give light over against thee. And the tongs thereof, and the snuffers thereof, shall be of pure gold. These are some of the elements that are in that magnet. The talent of pure gold for the making of all these vessels. Thou shalt make it all for a seven wood. 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 2 cubits a foot in hand. The altar should be 4 square, the height 3 cubits, 3 times long in that, double. Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. The horns shall be the same. I suppose they did with brass of brazen horns on that altar. And thou shalt make the pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, his basins, and the threshold, his fire pan, all the vessels shall make it brass, a lot of brass in these vessels of Moses' hand. Thou shalt write the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the table, the vessels, the candlesticks, vessels from the altar of incense, the altar of burnt out offerings, and not all the group, all his vessels, and the laver, and its foot, the table and its staves, and its vessels, and its shoulder. He made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes, his spoons, his bowls, the covers, the cover was all, of pure gold. These were expensive elements of the tabernacle of Moses. And the altar burnt offering, Exodus 35 and verse 16. The altar burnt offering, with his brazen grate, the spades and all the vessels, to labor on his foot. In Exodus 38 and verse 3. They made all the vessels of the altar. Pots, shovels, vehicles, fleshes, fire pans, all the vessels of brass, as well as called the brazen altar, the great altar, the rather offered of different animals and sacrifices, lots of articles of this tabernacle of Moses. Let's read verse number 22 today. And almost all things are by the law, furs with blood. And without shedding the blood, it's no remission. Almost all things, purged, cleansed, continuously with blood. Just in that philosophy, also Calvary. Without shedding the blood, it's no remission. It's not death of these animals, though these animals die. It's the blood. What does it put in scripture? For life of all flesh is in the blood. That's what the life is. And the importance of Christ's blood. In Acts 20, verse 28. Well, take heed therefore to yourselves, all the flock, of which the Lord will make the overseers. Now he's writing to the elders in Ephesus. That's why we are a church full of the scriptural views. Elders, pastors, bishops are one of the same office. They're not some of the pastors, some elders, and bishops. Paul wants to say, Paul the elder is just Ephesus. And then Acts, verse 22, this verse here, he said, the importance of Acts 20, verse 28. taking upon yourselves all the flock for which the Holy Ghost has your overseers or bishops. He's calling the elders and officers, bishops or overseers, whose thieves or pastor or shepherd with the church of God, with the church of his own body. What a good pastor, bishop, God, and one of his own office, different duties, around his second thing here, distinct. But that's also repeated in 1 Peter chapter 5, as it is in this Acts chapter 20. In Romans 3, verse 25, when God is set forth to be a propitiation to his enemies, propitiation, not found in many of the New Testaments, only satisfaction. Propitiation is the word that means satisfaction. God was satisfied with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His purchase for his own blood. Propitiation to faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that have passed. Then in Romans 5, in verse 9, much more being justified by his blood, declared righteous as by justification, which God declared to us to trust Christ, be just and righteous and hope for heaven, to declare his righteousness to the remission of sin and earth comes. In Romans 5, verse 9, much more being justified by his blood, declared righteous by God through the blood of Christ, not by his death, but by the shedding of his blood. He did die. The God holds up the blood of Christ, the same that justifies us, we should be saved from wrath. So that we who are genuine Christians be saved from wrath, saved from hell, saved from eternal damnation. Ephesians 1, verse 7, pressing on this one to the end. In whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Christ, redemption through his blood. Talks a lot about John MacArthur, and he says, no, it's not the blood, it's death. John talks of death, not only the blood, he says it's the same thing, he says it's no, John, you're dead wrong on that. The death of Christ was true, but the death of Christ is not what justifies us. It's the blood of Christ that was shed for remission of sin. It's the blood of Christ on the heavenly kingdom in heaven, and on the altar of in heaven. And we've got to be clear on that. I'm sending out to our email people a number of the series on John MacArthur. And series part number 2, I'm sending out to all the people. That's the third part as well. I talked about it in one of the meetings we had recently. But in Ephesians 2, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, looking at these Gentile unbelievers before they were saved, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. And in Colossians 1, verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, the Lord Jesus, peace, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Whether in earth or in heaven. In Hebrews 9, verse 12. But the maliciousness is very good. Neither with the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he had granted us once in the holy place, and has retained eternal redemption for us. This once, unlike the Roman Catholic priest, every single day in the services, crucifying Christ, and the elements, his blood, and his body, but just once, as he obtained in the past, once for eternal redemption, for those who trusted in the Savior. He made provision for the whole world, but possession of those who genuinely trusted in the Savior. In Hebrews 9, verse 14, how much more for the blood of Christ, which is the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or out. Purge your conscience, clean up your conscience, dead works, and serve the living God. And then Hebrews 10, verse 19, thinking of Christian believers, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that is, into heaven's throne. cost of the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Now, this is a judgment against those that deny the blood of Christ. I put John MacArthur right straight in this verse. Hebrews 10, 29. All of his followers agree with him on a fake situation that it's death and not blood. Hebrews 10, 29, it says, of how much sore of punishment all this should be thought worthy, but trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has caused the blood of the covenant, the blood of the covenant, to work in the sanctified, an unholy thing. When you equate blood with death, it's almost commonly an unholy thing. And the sore of punishment. That's a very serious thing. When John MacArthur and his followers, all of his seminary graduates, his commentaries, and all of the 66 books of the Bible, it teaches its falseness, and they believe it. Not the blood of war, and simply find the blood that's in the Son of God, which is death. And just despite it, it's fairly got serious problems. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set apart the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, outside the gates of Jerusalem, our Lord was crucified and suffered. In Hebrews 13, verse 1. And the God of peace, who brought again from death our Lord Jesus, our great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, those who are Christians, perfect, complete, mature in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, for Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever. And that's well pleasing in his sight, not in the world's sight. That's 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. We know this verse is this. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and you vain conversation, speaking by good teaching your father and mothers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, redeemed with the blood of Christ, not by silver and gold. And 1 John 1 and verse 7. Dr. John says, if we walk in the light of the Word of God, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the cleansing agent. The forgiving agent is blood. The cleansing agent is blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. For Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. The first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, these are titles of the Lord. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Not his death, death was there, but washed us to cleanse him of his own blood. In Revelation 5, at verse 1, and they sang a new song. A new song saying, thou art worthy, when you want to see it. To take the book, the open seals thereof, that thou wast slain, as redeemed it to God by thy blood, not by thy death, but it's a cleansing of his blood that was shed. He did die. And repeatedly God said, this is blood that cleanses and redeems and forgives. Redeemed by thy blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Everyone in all of the world who touched the Savior can be redeemed by the trusting message. Here in Revelation 7, verse 14, another verse in Revelation. I said unto him, sir, if I'm a listener, he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. A cleansing agent. In Revelation 12, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, the whole thing. Dragon, serpent, devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out of the earth. His angel was cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is thou salvation and strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him now by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives until the death." We've got to stand for the Lord Jesus, no matter what the cost, if it means death or not. Then, as we get to number 23 together, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified and obedience, because the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than enemies. Now, it was true in the tabernacle of Moses, purified by the shedding of blood of lambs and goats and bulls and calves, but these heavenly sacrifices, the heavenly things were better sacrifices of blood of the Lord Jesus himself. The verse 3, verse 24 there. "For Christ has not entered in the holy place with nailed his hands, because the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He has entered the heaven itself." Not in the Moses tabernacle, the first tabernacle of heaven, but so in Romans 8, verse 34. "Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, he rather that he is risen again, he is even at the right hand of God, who also made the intercession for us. He is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father." Verse of honor. "Seated at that right hand." It's still on Christ in chapter 7 of Acts, in the first letter, which is already slain, and otherwise is seated to the workers complete the right hand. Place of honor. Place of honor to the Father's right hand. Hebrews 6 and verse 20. "Further, that is to heaven, the forerunner is for us, and the closer of shame, then after even Jesus, made it high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Not simply a high priest in total battles, but forever he was a high priest, and even a high priest of Savior. Hebrews 10, verse 20. "By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us who are saved, to the veil, as to say, his flesh." Then verse 25. "Nor yet, as he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year, by the blood of others." Every year, the day of atonement, that high priest that was then living made an offering. That's not what the Lord Jesus did every year. So what's often of our Savior? In Romans 6 and verse 10. "In that he died unto sin once." That's it. I think the Roman Catholic Church depends on the masses and masses all over the world. But imagine, liveth unto God. Now, Hebrews 7, verse 27, speaking of Lord Jesus, "He needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices. First for his own sins, he had no sin of all Jesus, and then for the people, for this he did once and offered up himself." The high priest had offered for himself and his sins, and then for the sins of the people, or if he could do that for all the first sins, he had no sin. He bore the sins of the whole world in his own body apple tree, not his own sins, sins of all the whole world. Both the testing and that's the difference to sin and eternal life. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. That's all. The world has obtained eternal redemption. But redemption was paid. The price was paid. It was for all. The Lord would receive Christ's Savior. It becomes ours when we trust him. Death is the best. Provision is made possession of genuine faith. As Hebrews 9, verse 5 says, "For then must he offer suffer as the foundation of the world, by way of the word foundation, in case of the world is solid, not moving around the sun, is firm, the sun and the elements move around the earth, as it's in Genesis conception. This is just the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin and the sacrifice for us. Put away once and for all. In Hebrews 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered for the sins of men of the whole world. Provision was made. And after them that looked for him, so they appeared the second time without sin. And the salvation will not be dealing with the sin question when it comes back. He'll be judging, and he'll be condemning, and we'll have some of the money around with our Savior as well. But the first time he came to handle the sin question of the whole world, dying for the sin of the world. The second time, he'll not be a part of his coming at the purpose. You'll be judged for the ones who found that terrible 7-year tribulation time period at the end, and you'll judge them for the people for sharing sins at the second time of each time. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By this will, we are sanctified with the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Genesis 3, verse 18. Christ offers once suffers for sins. This once. The just for the unjust. You're unjust, he was just. So he might bring us to God to put the death on flesh and quicken by the Spirit. Then verse 26, which we did together. For then must he often suffer to the foundation of the world, that our once at the end of the world, as he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of his soul. I mentioned that earlier when I quoted this verse, the foundation of the world, the foundation of something that never moved. Every house, normally, has to have a foundation. So that foundation that will wiggle around and move every time of rain or thunder or otherwise. It's firm. If you read the scriptures from Genesis Revelation, you see that our earth is this foundation. It's not moving. The scientists are all wet in evolution. The scientists are all wet and the heliocentricity is true. The sun is shining the universe, there they will pick up the sun. False, false, false. The Bible is clear on geocentricity. The earth is the center of the universe, it has a foundation. And all the planets and sun are floating throughout the earth. Geocentricity is the foundation of the world. One, then verse 27, which we read together. And as it is appointed unto man, once he died, but after this, the judgment. Just once to die. Now there's a question for his life, as we know. Now the Old Testament, 969 years, this is a little of that old, and many will many years older, but today, we have a brevity of life. In Psalm 102, verse 11. They said, my days are like a shadow that comes. I am withered like grass. Just like a shadow. When the sun is out, the shadow is in. When the light's on, the shadow is in. When no light, no shadow. For our life is like a shadow. Who would expect that Mrs. Ray and I would live up to these 91 years? A long, long shadow. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, David, swearing over, said unto them, he said, thy father is Saul, speaking of Jonathan. Thy father certainly knows that I have found grace in my eyes. And he says, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, and truly, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. So always, just a step, to follow the Bible. Just a step, one step, between me and death. In Psalm 90, verse 1, it says, keep us in number our days, and our years are days. We may apply our hearts in the wisdom. We should thank the Lord for every day he's given us to live. May we look for him to create him of ourselves. Then James 4, verse 14. For as you know not what shall be in the law, that is the law. For what is your life? Is it a vapor that appears a little time and vanishes away? Life, brethren, like a vapor, vapor. Nobody's been promised 969 years, 91 years, 60 years, 50 years, nobody's promised. It's like a vapor. Appears for a while, and passes away. The three verses of Luke 28. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men, and then they looked for him, and so he appeared the second time without sin on the salvation. Christ offered to bear the sins of men. Bear the sins of the whole world. There are agreeing with that heresy called hyper-Calvinism. It states very clearly that Christ only died and bore the sin of just a certain tiny little group called the elect. That's not what he's doing. To bear the sins of men, everybody, not the sins of the whole world, but to trust in him by general they might be saved. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, speaking of Jesus Christ, his own self bear our sins, and his own body out of it, our sins, the sins of the whole world. That doesn't mean the whole world is saved. Provision is made to the whole world. Possession is by genuine acceptance of faith of the Savior. And that's the possession, the provision. The bread of sins, his own body on the tree on the cross. We've been dead in sin, should live in the righteousness by whose stripes, by whose wounds, he will heal. Confess the Lord Jesus as Savior, redeeming eternal life because of God. Isaiah 53, verse 45. Surely he has borne our griefs, Lord Jesus had us. Even by his own profession. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we need a slimmer stripper. Stripper than an afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. The sins of the whole world. He was bruised for our iniquities. Not his own. The sins of the whole world. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and was his stripes, his wound. Here he is. Provision was made. Possession is ours, but genuine faith in the Lord Jesus alone. And so these verses from Hebrews, last half of Hebrews 9, speak about the sanctification of the heavenly saints, holy by the precious blood of Christ, our high priest. And sin has been paid for, and with him trust that Savior for eternal life. His life is in the Son, not simply by the head, but by the heart. Trust in him as Savior. It's simple. It's profound. It's simple to receive that Savior. It's profound that he could do this. That God could recommend it and could tell us his word. That eternal life is found in trusting, genuinely trusting his Son. It's holy. The word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for that Son of the Lord Jesus, a willing sacrifice. Willingly came from heaven above, took upon himself a form of a man, a perfect man, perfect man, though he suffered the terrible pains of the cross of Calvary, willing, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Lord, if it could be possible, put this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, that my will was thine, he died. And thy will was done, Father. The Lord Jesus accepted thy will, which is help us to do the same. Following thy word, following thy will, reading our Bibles, Genesis to Revelation, if possible, this year, this new year coming up, just in a few days, that we may honor thee and trust thee and learn from the past experiences of the Old Testament and put into practice the New Testament rule that God has for us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Here's our hymn once again.